Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's not that wisdom, that idea is not coming from God. It's coming from some other source. We know what that is. But here's the awesome part. This is all living in victory, by the way. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How many times have we pointed this out? But this is there's a context going on right now where we're talking about living in victory. This is part of it. This is central to it, because we're everyone going to come short in the process of growing up in Him. You know, a child doesn't stop being your child because they mess up and they're naughty. They just need growth, instruction, correction. Let's move on. We struggle with that in our spiritual lives, though, don't we? Many times we get hung up on where we're at and what we did and how bad it was, and that just becomes our identity. God deliver us. God deliver me from that in areas. I know some of where my weaknesses are. One of the things we were talking that in that lesson this week, and I don't want to, you know, regurgitate that, but one of the points was, and it was mentioned earlier, doing an assessment. Here we're talking about living in victory, and yet we're doing an assessment of need. That's part of living in victory. Because God, victory means we're going to be not bringing everything into the light that needs to be brought, and then it's going to be, God's going to help us and bring us to a place of greater freedom. In the process, that's where the blood cleanses. Praise God. All right? If we confess, and these are things we've said many times, but I want to reiterate, because if you've fallen in the mud, and we all do, what is God looking for? What does victory look like when we do? Well, in the first place, our hearts are committed to walking in the light, so we're not trying to hide and pretend. So there needs to be an honesty about what's going on, where we're not, it's their fault, it's this, that, the other, it's just what I am. We're trying to deflect anything except, I made a choice that I shouldn't have made. And it's my responsibility, and I'm going to own it. That's what victory looks like. Because you're going to mess up, and I am too. But what God is looking for, the victorious Christian, is owning it and being honest and looking God in the eye and saying, oh God, I'm looking to you. Okay? I'm confessing. Now, confessing means to say along with, to agree. Again, we've said this many times. It means, Here's the charge. Here's what you're charged with. Here's what you did. I'm over here with the prosecutor. You're right. I agree with you. Do we really agree, or is there some area of self-will that wants to go the way we went? You see, that's not victory. Victory is coming to a place of surrender about that issue. Not just, I'm honest because that I did that, but Lord, I recognize that what I did and the choice that I made was me and was my old nature, and Satan was involved, the devil was involved, and I agree with you, Lord. That's an area that you're putting you're shining your light on where I need help. See, that's victory, is when we recognize and we bring it into the light, we confess. You know, I would say, I guess the next thing, I had a list of things in my mind as to what the steps were, but honesty, but seeing our need. Are we willing to recognize I have a need? It's not somebody else's fault. Doesn't matter, there may have been fault, but that's between them and God. Nothing that anyone does justifies me being wrong and making wrong choices. Because God gave me the charge of me, put me in charge of me. And He wants me to learn how to walk with Him in victory. Okay? So I'm in total agreement with Him about this. And I recognize God has allowed this. See, God has allowed this to happen. Maybe I needed the mud on my face. But it showed me that I have a need. All right? So then we have a choice to make. Do I want help in that area? Is there some part of me that wants to keep making those choices, wants to reach out in that direction, wants to play with that? There has to be a willingness to say, oh God, I need you. And I'm in such agreement with you. I want to change. I want you to help me in this area that you have allowed me to see. Then what are we supposed to do? All right, I have a need. What's the next step? To ask. Let's go to the source of our help. Has He promised to help us? Has He promised? Do we actually believe that enough to say, God, I'm genuinely coming. I really am. I'm in a difficult place. I need help. And that's where the enemy really loves to jump in and say, you just can't go like you are. You got to get straight before you do that. But think about the scripture that we've heard so many times. Let's see, I got to back up here to Hebrews 4. We're so familiar with all of these, but they need to come into play right now where we're at. I believe that it's absolutely critical that we understand that living in victory means dealing with weakness and dealing with failure. That does not stop victory. Victory is not perfection. Victory is how we handle this. Okay? So therefore, in verse 14 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, therefore, since we have a great high priest, do we have one? Praise God, we rightly lifted him up and expressed love for him this morning. Thank God we've got somebody. You know, earlier I could have gone on in 1 John and read where it says, I don't want you to sin, but if we sin, we've got an advocate. We've got a lawyer. We've got somebody who represents us. This is not about saying sin is okay. It's not, but if we do, in fact, I didn't read the part where he says, if we say that we have no sin, we. That's John. This is John, the apostle, who wrote the three letters and the gospel and the book of Revelation. God used him mightily. If we say we have no sin and so forth. We're lying. I forget the rest of the verse. But anyways, we're wrong. We've messed up. So therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, boy, he's in a place, the ultimate authority, isn't he? Talk about the Supreme Court of the universe. This is it. I don't care what the devil take you to district court and condemn you. Devil, I'm going to the top. I have the right to go to the top because I'm serving one who has already paid the price for my mess up. I'm going to own it. I'm going to bring it to him honestly, and I'm going to believe him. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. I bet you anybody here who has ever sent out to serve the Lord, and then you really had an event in which you messed up, your faith was just kind of less real to you right then. You begin to entertain doubt and fear and failure and all of that. Do you think that's what God wants? Or does He want us not to blow it off, but not to be afraid? Say, this signals something I need to be afraid of. Oh, maybe it's not going to work out. Maybe, maybe, maybe. And then the devil is just going to fill you with all kinds of maybes. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Why? How can I do that? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, our weaknesses. Think about that. Whatever you have gone through, whatever you have done, whatever you have fallen into, do you think the Lord just doesn't understand? Oh, He's been here. He knows. He didn't ever give in to it, but He knows the pull. He knows the pressure from the enemy. He understands exactly how people feel. He walked among sinners and showed mercy, didn't he? Thank God. All right? He's not able to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. So now what's the consequence? What's the result of that? Let us then approach God's throne. Is that not what the Lord wants us to do when we mess up? Do we, like the old song, hang around another day? Sit around another day and mope and feel bad and I've got to do this, I've got to do that? We just come. We come. We come freely. Freely. That's his promise. The devil will tell you anything but what God has promised. And that's the very moment we need if we're walking in victory. Victory means I messed up, but I have a place I can go right now. Right now. I don't have to wait. Let us then approach God's throne out of grace with confidence. Oh boy. How does it feel when you've messed up? Are you filled with confidence? If your confidence is based upon you and your ability, your strength, your rightness, your perfection, you got a problem. So do I. But I'll tell you, I've got full confidence in Jesus. I've got full confidence in God's plan because Jesus did not come into the world to condemn. He came to save. And his blood absolutely took away the sins of the world. We have every right to come. So then, as we've often use this verse, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. So what are we looking for? All right? So that we may receive mercy. Now that's the first thing I need. Oh God, I need you to help me even though I don't deserve it, could never deserve it. But yet here you telling me I can go to the highest authority in the universe and my expectation is that you're going to show me mercy. Now, again, if I'm going there and I secretly want to continue to do what I've been doing and that's really where my heart's going, I'm not really coming to for the right reason, am I? I may go through a form, but I'll tell you, if God sees the heart of the weakest saint, the smallest child, physically or spiritually, who comes to him with an honest heart saying, oh God, I need you. I need you to show me mercy. That's what he's promised. That's what he's promised. And we need to take this in our heart and speak it out with our lips because the devil will condemn. He will accuse. If we let him accuse us, that's the opportunity. When we have messed up, he will absolutely jump in your case and accuse you as long as you listen. And it's not a matter of saying, no, I'm not guilty, no, I didn't. Yes, I am, but.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.